following is a devotional given by Pastor Fred Calkins at the 2025 Michigan Summer Blind Camp. We hope you will be blessed.
I am continuing our series that we did in the winter when we were looking at Jesus on his way to the cross and at the cross. And we'll take it through to the resurrection this time. So I'm looking particularly at Luke chapter 23 today, which is a story about Jesus on the cross and how cruelly he was treated. But there's one scene where he got a word of encouragement. Really just one scene where he got a word of encouragement. There was so much ugly going on, but there was one scene where he got some encouragement. But it didn't start out that way. It says, one of the criminals who were hanging blasphemed Jesus, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Now, they were really just echoing what others had said, because I just turned back a page on verse 32. Two others, criminals, led him to death. When they had come to the place called Calvary, they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand, one on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." Now, that wasn't just for the soldiers who were pounding the nails so cruelly into his hands. It was not just for the soldiers who picked up that cross with him hanging on it and dropped it into a hole so that the hands where the nails were tore. Jesus said, "Forgive them." That was for you and me. We are the ones that Jesus went to the cross for. It's because of our sin. The wages of sin is death. Sin causes death. And Jesus chose to take my place and die my death. It's a very interesting thing for you to look at how God tried to help us understand this. The natural tendency for selfishness, which is also another word for sinfulness, is me first. Let me take care of me. And either the sinner kills God, or, well, God doesn't kill the sinner. He just has to stop giving them life anymore. But when we look at the plan of salvation from the Bible perspective, we see those sacrifices throughout Scripture. It was demonstrating that our sin is killing God. Jesus died the death that I deserve so that he can give me the life that he deserves. By his stripes, we are healed. And so that's one of the strongest things we see when we look at this cross. The people stood looking on in verse 35. The rulers sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself." Had Jesus saved other people? Well, yeah. Giving sight to the blind, healing to the leper, raising dead people to life again. So many ways he has been blessing and helping other people. And now they mock him. Saving others, why doesn't he save himself? Because he can't save himself and save others. He has to give himself to save. Now, don't miss that lesson. How do you find happiness? By trying to make yourself happy? Some of you have already figured it out. The way that you find happiness is by investing in others and trying to make them happy. When you are trying to help others, then you find joy comes to you. Why do you think Jamie's so quick to help? He's learned that it's fun. Well, why do we have the volunteers coming to camp? Because you've learned that it's a joy to help people. And even the blindest of our campers have found ways to give back, to help. It's fun. Jesus chose to go to the cross. He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. They did not believe that Jesus was who he was, but Jesus staying on the cross was proving who God is, the lover of all mankind. So, soldiers mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. So even the soldiers are getting in on this. So we start with the crowd and the rulers of the Jews, now the soldiers, then one of the criminals. And actually, when you read the rest of the Gospels, you discover both of them were involved in this at first. But one of the criminals recognized in the demeanor of Jesus help and hope. He saw that here was a Savior if he would trust him. The other criminal saw the same Jesus, saw his same actions, but chose to selfishly say, me first. So, the other criminal, not the one who's keeping saying, save us, he rebuked him saying, verse 40, fear God. You are under the same condemnation. You're on a cross hanging just like he is. Be respectful of this man who's dying here so innocent. You can tell by every action he's doing that he does not deserve what he's getting. We indeed justly. Do we deserve to die? Oh, I know. Your sins are just little ones. You haven't raped anybody. You haven't killed anybody. Well, be careful. Because God makes it clear that even if you in your mind have been thinking those lustful thoughts or those murderous thoughts, yeah, we're all guilty. When we recognize the awfulness of sin, we realize the wonderfulness of God, that he was ready to rescue us. And we deserve to be on a cross. He died the death that we deserve. We indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said to Jesus, and these were the sweetest words that Jesus heard the whole time he was on the cross. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's dying. He knows he's dying. And it's one of the most painful deaths that ever been invented. It's hard to know what is the most painful death, but it's certainly one of the most. And people killing, hurting people is so cruel. And so here's this criminal, a thief, probably also a murderer, dying beside Jesus. And he says, I want what you've got. Remember me. I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe that you're going to be coming back in power and glory, and I want to be on your side. That's all any of us can say. I believe you're coming, and I want to be on your side. Remember me. So Jesus turns to him and said, assuredly, I say to you today, I'm giving you this promise. You will be with me in paradise. I say unto you today, yes, yes. So very few understand that. You will find occasional paraphrases or Bibles that recognize Jesus is saying, listen to me now. We're going to be together in the kingdom. What a promise. Listen to me now. We can be together in the kingdom. God loves you. God loves me. God loved this. Yeah, and that's an interesting thing, that those who put the comma in the wrong place haven't read the rest of the gospel to realize Jesus has to say, I haven't seen the Father yet. But we'll get to that later. That's another lesson in our story. But God mercifully shrouded the cross in darkness for the next few hours. And then Jesus finally cried, it is finished. And we'll get into that in another study too. We have a God who loves us. And this scene at the cross, when this criminal gave his life to Jesus, that's me. That's us. We can see ourselves there and we can say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Gracious Lord, as we pray now, we bow before you, our God, our Savior, our Lord, and our King. We invite you, we plead with you, remember me when you come in your kingdom. We acknowledge that means we ask for forgiveness of our sins in the now, our selfishness, our self-centeredness, our fears. We give them all to you, trusting you, recognizing you are a God of love and peace and grace, tender compassion. Jesus, like his Father, loves us and sends the Spirit to dwell in us and give us your heaven's peace. We rest in that and we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, as we go to your word, we ask that you will send your Spirit to bless and guide us that we can understand lessons for today. We would see Jesus. We want to live in love for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, there's several aspects to this story. We're going to be focusing particularly on when Jesus gave his mother away. I know, we're going to have a wedding this evening, and traditionally the father gives the bride away. Well, here it's the son giving his mother away. So it's upside down, and it's a curious, very curious story. We'll start with, why would he have to do that? In our society, people are careful to get some kind of a retirement plan. Before those were so well established, the government mandated a Social Security plan, which is still in effect, although there's a lot of people who are questioning how long it's going to last. It's funded by current dollars, and so that makes it very curious how long is it going to last. But anyway, in Jesus' time, they didn't have any Social Security. They didn't have retirement funds. Retirement in that day was having kids who would take care of you. Well, if you've noticed, there's plenty of people around who don't have any children. Now, we know that Jesus had some brothers, looking now in Matthew 12. While Jesus was talking to multitudes, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside seeking to speak to him. One said to Jesus, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. He answered and said to one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? He stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Well, that wasn't very nice. He threw him under the bus. Now, turn over a page, and we read that, thought it was one page, 13. Yes, it's toward the end of chapter 13. He's in Nazareth, and Jesus has come to his own city. He came to his own country. He taught them in their synagogue, so he's in Nazareth in the synagogue. And the people in the synagogue are astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom? How does he do these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son, Joseph? Are not his mother called Mary and his brothers, James and Joseph, Simeon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where did this man get all these things? They were offended with him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. He acknowledged that they were not ready to respect him at home. That's painful. They were ready to kill him. Now, who are these brothers? And we have five boys named, and it says sisters. Well, let me tell you a little bit of a story. My mother and daddy got married when they were about 20, and some 22, 23 years later, they had seven children. My kid sister was about six. So they'd been busy, and then my mother died. I was 20 years old. My mother died. that left my father with seven children. Well, that's about what we're reading here. Jesus has four brothers and sisters, so we'll just assume three sisters. It doesn't say how many. It could be two or six, but brothers and sisters. When Joseph got married, I believe he already had some children. Just like when my stepmother married my daddy, she inherited instantly seven stepkids, and she loves us all. She's been very, very gracious and kind to us, and she's only 89 years old now, so she's still loving us. She was married to my daddy longer than my mother was married to my daddy. My daddy's been gone for 15 years, but that's just the way things go. That's life. I believe Joseph's wife died, leaving him with a brood. Now, doesn't that put a different perspective when he comes to Bethlehem and there's not room in the inn? We like the picture of Joseph and Mary, very pregnant, coming and looking. Can't you find a room for just the two of us? But if there's seven kids in the family, do you have room in your house to add that big a family? There's the barn. So they let him go out to the barn. Now that's the picture. That's the picture I have. Now, are these Mary's kids? Well, somewhat sort of, but they don't have that personal commitment involvement that others would have. Her only blood kid is Jesus. Now, praise the Lord, my stepmother, against all odds, had two babies. First one died in infancy, and so I have a sister, Bethany. Well, Bethany is the one who takes primary responsibility for my stepmother. Well, hallelujah! What would you expect? Now, I try to visit her every day. I'm pretty careful to visit her at least every week. She loves my grandkids. She counts them as hers. She loves my children. But Jesus offended everybody. Remember? Jesus was sent to the cross. Now, who's going to stand by his side then? I don't believe his brothers are sticking by at that time. Now, I know later they joined because we have a book in the Bible by one of his brothers named James, and we have a book in the Bible by one of his brothers named Jude. I know, I just read his name was Judas, but by the time he wrote the book, that name Judas had a black mark against it, and so nobody got called Judas anymore. Judah, maybe, or Jude, maybe, but no, we don't want to be called Judas. And we understand. So at least two of Jesus' siblings, step-siblings, got on board eventually, but at the cross, they weren't there. But his mother was. Well, what do you expect? She's his mother. And she was there, crying her eyes out, watching her boy on the cross, listening to him. Forgive those who have hurt him. Give life to the one who was beside him. Jesus was there. And his mother was there. And Jesus looked out, and one of his disciples was there. Now, the disciples were a little shy about this. Well, they didn't want to get executed along with their master, and so most of them were hanging back a little bit. But John was close enough, and there's reasons why John was so close. John was the youngest of the disciples, and he had cozied up to Jesus in ways that only a kid can. And so he was there. So now we have what I like to call a parent adoption. I know you're used to the kind of things where the kid gets adopted. Sparky's got a delightful story. He's got so many siblings. His parents were quick to adopt. And it's great. And we see that. It's not unusual. And some of you have had to bury your parents, and you've adopted somebody else to be mom or dad. You know what I'm talking about? Well, Jesus saw something precious. He saw his mother and he saw his beloved disciple John. And so here we have it. I'm in John now, John chapter 19, verse 25. There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So there's several women, and the women weren't so afraid to be close to Jesus, even in his being on the cross, because the attitude then and there was more hold the men responsible. Things are, yeah, it's not always fair the way we treat women, but they weren't afraid that they were going to be executed along with Jesus, whereas his male followers tended to be afraid about that. Verse 26, Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved. Now, that's the John's favorite way of designating himself. He usually does not name himself in the Gospel of John. So he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." So he's given his mother away. "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And it says, from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Can you imagine what difference this made? Now, first of all, what difference it makes for Mary. She's got somebody who is taking responsibility for her. John the Revelator, John the Beloved, John the disciple of Jesus, took responsibility for his adopted mother now. And when we look at church history, we don't have much given in the scriptures about this, but it appears that John, as he matured, as he went out on missionary journeys, he kept his mother, his new mother, at his side. And it's apparent that he became the pastor of the Ephesus church. You read about that from Paul's writings. And the church tradition is, we don't have anything as clear and explicit as we'd always like, because we Westerners like to have documented proof, but the indication is that Mary was there in Ephesus with John till she died. Now, life expectancy in those days was about 35 to 45 for women. Men might get it 5 years more, but then some lived for much longer too. But we don't know how long she lived. But you know, what did it mean for John? What benefit was there in this for John? Well, remember, it says, I think this is Luke chapter 2, that Mary pondered these things in her heart. What did she have to treasure in her heart? We've looked at those before. A visit from Angel Gabriel saying, you're going to be a mother without any human male. And she says, whatever you say, God, I'm open. Ponder that in her heart. And then she goes and visits Elizabeth. And as soon as she steps into the room, Elizabeth's baby jumps for joy. Inside the womb, Elizabeth says, oh, you blessed woman. She catches on to exactly what's going on right away. And we have that beautiful, beautiful testimony of Elizabeth affirming Mary and Mary acknowledging what gift she's been given. Elizabeth shares the story of Zacharias and his not being able to speak until John was born. That was all part of Mary's story that she could share with John. Oh, and the shepherds. When the baby was born, the shepherds come. Now, that's something to ponder in her heart, because the shepherds come and say, God told us this is the Christ child. What an affirmation. Now, I know we like the picture of them bringing a lamb to Jesus. They probably didn't. They came and worshiped. Their point was to come and worship. But some months later, the wise men from the east who have followed the star come, and they worshiped, and they brought gifts. Why did they bring gifts? Because God knew that this family, which may have up to 10 people in the family, needed to make a journey down to Egypt to save the life of Jesus. So now they have funds for the journey. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all valuable stuff. And it would supply their needs for the next year or two while they're down in Egypt before they come back and go to Nazareth. So Mary has stories to tell to John, stories that are going to build up John's faith and are going to become a part of the fabric of that Christian church. Jesus, dying on the cross, hands, feet, side. Now the side's not bleeding yet so much. His crown is bleeding where they put the thorns on it. But there he is just hanging, dying, and he knows he's dying. He's read Psalm 22. He knows the prophecy. He knows that this is where he's given up his life for us. And he looks down and he says, I can do one more thing for my mom. One more thing for my mom. Give her somebody to care for. Somebody who'll care for her. And he blessed both of them by that action. Now, where can you go from here? Well, first of all, we worship. We worship this God who loves us so much. But then we recognize that God's made us to be involved in families. He wants us to knit together in families. He wants to love one another. And it's very appropriate for you to look around and see, is there somebody who needs a son? Is there somebody who needs a daughter? Is there somebody who needs a mother? Press together, love each other. God loves you, and he wants you to reach out and love those around you. Gracious Lord, we acknowledge our need of you. We plead with you to work in our lives that we can be loving and lovable. There are so many hard things that happen in life. Help us that we can be quick to reach out and lend a hand where it can be done. We want to live in love for Jesus. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. The Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His plan of salvation. Won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the veracity of the Bible? Go to our secure website at strongtowerradio.org or str.fm and click on the Donate button or call 231-468-2087. Thank you for listening to and supporting Strong Tower Radio.
Hi folks, I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio, and we are going to be interviewing a couple of pastors that are involved with a series of seminars that are called Keys to Revelation Bible Prophecy. And on the phone with us is Pastor Ian Santos. Welcome to Strong Tower Radio, Pastor.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
And you are the pastor at the Jackson and the Marshall Seventh-day Adventist churches in, I guess, Southern Michigan, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm a third-generation Seventh-day Adventist, born in this church, raised in this church. I grew up being a traditional Adventist, as we may say, meaning like, you know, something like a nominal Adventist. When you tell me things about Bible prophecy, yeah, I know that, Book of Revelation, yeah, I know that, Ten Commandments, yes, I know that. So I'm that kind of person. And it took me basically up to the age of 32 when I finally knew that I didn't know who my Jesus Christ is. And that was the time that when I met my wife, back then we were still dating, and I saw that she was 5 years in faith, and she just have an absolute passion for missions and ministry and just doing things for the Lord. And that fascinated me, and that made me so interested to know more about this young lady. And I was so, you know, I think the Lord was leading me, you know, to a greater mission that he wants me to do. To cut the story short, she introduced me to her Adventist friends, and it was like very ironic because I'm from the church, yet, you know, being introduced to people with the same minds. And when I say same minds in terms of just doing the mission for Jesus Christ. And long story short again, when I attended GYC, Generation Youth for Christ.
Yes.
There's a version in the Philippines. It's called Philippine Youth for Christ. And when I attended that, that really was an eye-opener for me. And that's when I realized that, man, I wasn't doing things for the Lord that I should have been doing. I'm named as a member of this church, yet I'm not doing something for the Lord. And so that's when I started, you know, being more into my Bible, being more into missions, being more into what Jesus wants us to do. And now COVID came. We got married, basically, then a few years after. Then a few years later, COVID came. And COVID, for all people, it's something that they are not happy about. But ironically, the Lord used COVID as a tool for me to get into the ministry, like seriously into the ministry, basically.
So how long have you been a pastor?
Well, my background is in the IT industry. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a theology graduate. I didn't had an experience as a pastor, but since I grew up in the church, I held offices from becoming a cradle role up to an ordained elder. So the only position that I haven't had in the church was being a pastor. And so that's why when COVID came in, that's when I started to, my pastor mentor friend told me, hey, why don't you enroll in Andrews University? So when I went to Andrews University, that was the height of COVID, and then I enrolled and everything. So there's so much, but that's another story to tell. But there was so much knowledge that I acquired. But in the middle of my program, with the help of, you know, connections in terms of, like, people seeing my talent, people seeing how am I as a, you know, as a student and as an experienced person in working in the corporate world, IT industry for 18 years. And so I think the Michigan Conference hired me then as a pastor. So I was hired in December 2023. So that's my first time becoming a pastor.
Okay. All right. Well, now let's talk about this Keys to Revelation and Bible prophecy. What are some of the topics that you cover?
That's a good question. Well, one of the topics, one of the best topics that we have here is basically we're talking about the keys to Revelation. Well, the reason why it was named that way, because we are giving them the keys to unlock the prophecies, the mysteries of the prophecies. You know, some of the topics that we have is, you know, who's the next world superpower? What is the three angels' message in the book of Revelation? What's the judgment hour? What is the temple or the sanctuary being talked about? Who's the Antichrist and what's his agenda? And who is the Revelation's Lamb? You know, and again, in Revelation, we find millennium, we find the mark of the beast, Bible prophecy in terms of who is this 144,000. You know, all this biblical, or I would say Revelation themes that we commonly read. You know, it's so hard to understand the book of Revelation if we don't have the keys to unlock this particular Bible prophecies that Jesus has given to John the Revelator.
Well, that's true. A lot of people, you know, they don't know what it means and the beast. And there's even churches that, well, we can't understand it. But you're right, if you have the keys to unlock it, because it's definitely a prophecy, and we are living though what's happening in Revelation. We can see that prophecy is being fulfilled right now.
Right. And just to add on, you know, we're really up to letting people know the coming king, the coming Messiah. And that's what Revelation is all about. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ himself, according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. And it only, this wonderful book in the Bible tells us about the coming of Jesus Christ and the reason why we have to be ready. And the topics are just so exciting, and they're just really wonderful to understand.
So now, if people want to know, so you've got the two churches. The Marshall Church right now has already started their series. So
that is correct.
Do they need to register to come?
Well, they can come, and we will register them, but they could also go online by going to keystorevelation.com. And when they go to keystorevelation.com, they can just type in the location, Marshall, and then click on Learn More under Marshall. That's going to be in the lower part of the website. So they can go there and start registering, or they can visit us on site in our church. It's being held in the church. It's located at 1115 Verona Road, Marshall, Michigan. So everyone's welcome to come.
So say that address again.
That's 1115 Verona Road, Marshall, Michigan.
Okay. Now, if somebody has a question regarding Marshall, is there a phone number they might could call?
Yes, they could call our church landline number. That's 269-781-7033.
You want to repeat that number again?
Sure. That's 269-781-7033.
Okay, and that's for Marshall. So since they've already started, then, like, they've missed some of this. Some people are going to think, well, how are they going to be able to get caught up?
Well, that's very easy because our website, by the way, it's if you will go to our website, that's just type marshall.seventhdayadventist.church. Again, that's marshall.seventhdayadventist.church. That's our official website there. And if you're in our website, you could just see all the tabs, and you just have to click on the tab that says watch. Or if you're in a mobile device, you could just click on menu and click on the word watch. And when you click on that, you will find all our recent videos. And there's everything is there from day one to day eight. So you could go back to those videos and watch them because they're all recorded and compiled in our church website.
So what days of the week are you having this?
So we're having this every Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays. And this will be up until the September 27th. So again, that's Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays. So it's five nights a week.
Okay.
And it starts at 6:30 p.m. We, by the way, have refreshments at 5:30 for, and that's a time for us to fellowship with everyone. And then if they have questions, you know, we answer them during the refreshments time. But we start off at 6:30, and we also have a 7 to 10 minute health lecture that we give out, which is relevant to our topic each night.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. Health is very important, especially the times we're living in. And so this is for the Marshall Church, and it's already started, but even if it's, you know, 5 days in a row, some people might not be able to make it every night. It's good for them to know they can go online and see that. So what about the Jackson Church? That's one hasn't started yet?
Yep, it hasn't started yet, but we're in Jackson. If you're very close to Jackson County, and if you're within the area around Jackson, you're more than welcome to come and attend series. It starts on October 5, and it's going to last up until November 15. Our days would be every Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Again, that's Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Again, we have a 5:30 refreshments for fellowshipping at the same time, and question and answers if you have. And then at 6:30, we start our seminar again with a health message. Then we go ahead with our seminar. By the way, it's my wife. She's the one giving the health lecture.
Okay. And so what age group is this good for?
Well, this is good for practically a wider range of age group. We could, like, invite people as, or, like, if you're 16 years old and above, you can definitely come, and you're more than welcome to attend.
Okay.
We even, in fact, have, just a little fact, we even had a participant in Marshall who's just 14 years old, and she's attending.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, kids are never too young to start learning, especially regarding when it comes to the Bible.
Yes. Okay. And that only shows and proves that the way we presented Keys to Revelation is very easy to understand, very easy to comprehend. We simplified the complex symbols or prophetic symbols that are stated in the book of Revelation, which will be easy for everyone in this age range to understand.
Okay, so regarding Jackson, where's the church located?
Oh, okay. By the way, Jackson Church is located at 3600 County Farm Road, Jackson, Michigan. Again, that's 3600 County Farm Road, Jackson, Michigan.
Okay, and if somebody has a question, you've got a website for the Jackson Church, too?
Sure, and our website is jacksonsdachurch.org. Again, that's jacksonsdachurch.org.
So the SDA is abbreviation for Seventh-day Adventist. And
yes.
If somebody wanted to maybe make a phone call or contact you personally, Pastor, how would they do that?
Well, they could contact us through our landline. It's 517-784-2957. Again, for Jackson Church, that's 517-784-2957.
Okay. And if no one's there, they can leave a message. Is that?
Yes, definitely. And we receive the messages, and we will get back to them the soonest possible time.
Okay. And so it is possible to understand the book of Revelations, isn't it?
Oh, definitely it is.
Right. And the more you learn about it, I mean, you learn a lot more about the Bible, too, because there are other, I like the name, Keys to Revelation. Because there are keys all throughout the Bible that give us information, take us to Revelation, and learn and understand things.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you giving us some information about your two churches, and just pray that God will bless, and especially, you know, people are, they know what something's going on in this world, and a lot of people don't understand the Bible. And this is something to help them. And it's strictly using the Bible. Correct?
Yes, that's true. We I just want to say a little bit about that. We are sourcing all our references to the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Daniel, the book of Isaiah, Ezekiel, and other Old Testament books to interpret the book of Revelation, and some parts of the New Testament as well, to supplement and support the interpretation of the book of Revelation. You know, it's so important that we let the Bible speak for itself and
Amen.
Interpret itself.
That's right. Okay. Well, I just pray that people will be blessed. I mean, and I'm telling you, listeners, especially down there in Marshall and Jackson area, if you don't understand things and you go there, you will just be... Your eyes will be open to, wow, I never knew this in the Bible. And even though I read the Bible, I still learn things, you know, because there's a lot of information in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit helps us to have more understanding.
Yes. You know, Jillian, I have a testimony that came from one of my attendees in Marshall. You know, she's from a Methodist background, but you know what did she say? She said that, if you can only, let me just paraphrase her quote. If you will preach this, and if people will hear this, you can fill this church up with this wonderful message of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that's just one of the testimonies we just got.
Well, that's right, because we need to know Jesus, and he is coming back soon. Well, thank you.
Amen.
And may God bless you, Pastor Santos.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me in your program.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Can I ask you to do me a favor? I'll get right to the point. We could use your prayers and financial support. Please remember to pray for Strong Tower Radio every day, and if you think of it, more often. Also, we really need you to take some time to go to our secure website, that's www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on that donate button. Do what the Lord impresses you to do. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Jelaine Fenner. And we have on the phone with us another pastor. We just interviewed Pastor Ian Santos, but with us now is Pastor Steve Shefka. And he currently is a pastor at the Saginaw and St. Charles Seventh-day Adventist Church, and welcome to our program and what we're going to talk about, Pastor.
Hi, Jelaine. How are you? It's great to be talking with you guys, and I'm looking forward to starting our Keys to Revelation seminar tonight. It's in St. Charles downtown at our church, and the phone number there is 989-780-7900. But the address is 125 Marcy Street in downtown St. Charles.
What's that address again?
The address is 125 Marcy Street, St. Charles, Michigan.
Okay, and what time does this seminar start?
We're going to be starting at 7 o'clock tonight, and there's going to be quite a few people coming. We got a lot of pre-registrations in, so make sure you get your seat early.
So this will be airing... the people are going to be hearing it this afternoon. So do they need to pre-register?
They don't need to pre-register. They can just show up, but it's a little bit easier for us to know how many people are coming and just to plan for food items, that sort of thing. So we appreciate it if people would pre-register. Plus, we have a free gift if you do. We've been giving away a Kingdoms in Time magazine as a free gift if you do pre-register.
So how do they pre-register?
They go out to keystorevelation.com, and they can just type in St. Charles, and it'll take them right there, and they can just enter their information, and they'll be registered.
Okay. Well, tell us just a little bit about you.
Well, I've been pastoring for about 13 years, and I live here, and I live like 5 minutes from the church here in St. Charles, and we have been really enjoying our ministry up here in this area, and we're looking forward to just seeing people understand what Revelation really has to say. We're wanting people to see that Christ's word can be trusted and that he is coming back soon, and the evidence is overwhelming if people just take a look at it. So we're hoping people will come out and see something they've never seen before.
Well, and you know, the book of Revelation, I mean, some churches even say you can't understand it, you know, there's no sense reading it, and
sure,
it can be very confusing. It, you know, has these beasts and everything. But at the very beginning of the book of Revelation, Steve, what does it say?
It says, the blessing is for those who read and hear and keep the words of this prophecy. So the blessing is there if we just open it up and look at it.
I know, and I've always wondered, I mean, the word revelation, it's, you know, revealing Jesus.
That's right. Yeah, it's revealing Jesus. It's not the revelation of John, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. As you mentioned, it opens up with that very statement. So this is telling people about Jesus. A lot of people who believe in Jesus have never looked at this book. And it's incredibly important for us to show that there are keys in the Old Testament to help us understand what Revelation is saying. It's not hard if you have the keys. But without those keys, it can be a little cryptic. The purpose of this seminar is to show people the keys so they can understand Revelation themselves.
Well, that's it. I mean, some people believe and churches teach, well, the Old Testament, you know, that's old. We just need the New Testament when Jesus was around. But Jesus quoted from the Old Testament. I mean, that's what was there. And
right,
like you're saying, this seminar is called The Keys to Revelation. There's so many things in the Old Testament, that, you know, some of the different books that are talking about prophecy.
That's right. That's right. You know, Jelaine, if we got rid of the Old Testament, the New Testament would be so full of holes, it wouldn't make any sense. Because well, most of it's quoting back to the Old Testament.
Well, yes, and Jesus even talks about, you know, Jonah. He talks about the book of Daniel. I mean, we need the whole Bible.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. It's an amazing book, and it's definitely not an ordinary book. So we really encourage people to come out and see some of the things that are said in there that will just really change the way they see things in the world.
Well, what are some of the topics you'll be covering?
We're going to be covering all the major topics. You know, mostly the book of Revelation is surrounding, the central theme is the coming of Jesus. It's how to get prepared for that. Revelation 14 talks about what we need to do to get ready, the warning of the judgment that's coming. So we'll be talking about judgment. We'll be talking about what Satan is going to be doing. He's going to be creating this mass deception that's going to draw a lot of people in. It shows us how to avoid those deceptions, things like the mark of the beast. The end time discussion of the seven last plagues is going to be discussed. We have, there's riders four horsemen that we talk about. We talk about the church. There's a timeline of chronology of what God's church would go through all the way up until the second coming of Christ. So we're going to go into a lot of detail. It'll move fast. But we're asking people to take notes, but we are going to give handouts of each topic at the end of the night, too, so they'll understand it.
Okay.
One thing I want to mention, too, is that we're also doing a parallel program called Keys to Health, and my wife, Stacy, is going to be presenting in the first 15 minutes a quick nugget about how we can easily improve our health and get rid of some of those doctor payments and even the pills that people are taking can be removed with just diet changes.
Well, yeah, the Bible does have a lot to say about our health, too.
That's right. That's right. And the gospel and the health message in the Bible are to go hand in hand. We can't really separate the two.
So this seminar is starting tonight at 7 o'clock, you said?
Yes.
Okay. And since there's several topics and Revelation isn't just like a one-day thing to talk about seminar, how many more topics, how many more days are you going to be covering things?
Yeah, we're going to be preaching this message 4 days a week throughout the month of September. So we'll be going from tonight all the way till September 27th, and then we're also going to offer some roundtable Bible discussions for people who have in-depth questions they want answered on a one-on-one basis.
Okay. And so, I can't make it tonight, and maybe not tomorrow night, but I want to come.
Yeah, there's a full schedule available. When you get there, we can give you one, but you can also get the schedule at keystorevelation.com.
Okay, and so then if I miss something, how am I going to get caught up or be able to see what I missed?
Yep, they can just call the church, and we will get back to them and leave a message. We'll call you back, and we will make sure you get all of the handouts as well as how we can get you to actually sit down and watch the recorded version of it.
So you guys are recording these?
We are, yes.
Okay. And what is the phone number to the church?
989-780-7900.
989-780-7900. Okay. And the church is located right in town, right? In St.
Charles. Yeah. If you're driving up 52, you'll hit the main light. And when you're at that main light on 52 in St. Charles, you can see the parking lot. The Keys to Revelation signs will be right down the street in front of you.
Yeah, all right. Okay. And so what do you tell people when they really do believe they've read the book of Revelation, but they don't understand it?
They don't understand it? Well, the idea is to break it down in pieces. You don't want to try and eat the elephant all in one bite. You know, there's a lot there, but if we look at each aspect of it and we just take piece at a time, you can find out where people are struggling with understanding and just show them what they're missing. Fill in a couple of the blanks. That's what we're here for. And then when they see it for themselves, it'll become part of their own perspective.
Well, and people, we see what's going on in this world. It's Jesus is coming soon.
That's right.
And
that's right.
It's, and especially then if, some of the chapters there in Revelation talk about things that are happening. And Jesus, even Matthew 24, he talked about things that are going to happen, and they are happening right now. So
that's right.
Like what you said, people need to be ready.
Yeah, that's the whole message. God gives us books like Revelation telling us the near future so that we can get ready and change. There's a lot of bad things out there in the world that people are clinging to that they just need to let go of. And if we do that, we're going to be free of some of those addictions, some of those terrible things in our life that have caused nothing but trouble for us. Christ wants nothing but the best for us. And that's really what the seminar is about. It's to show people how there's a better way of living through Christ.
Well, and the devil's been so clever in masking Bible truth. There's so many things that people believe in this world that are not true.
Yeah. We have to undo some error sometimes because there's a lot of Greek mythology that gets mixed in there. There's New Age thinking. And if you really analyze that stuff against the Word of God, the truth easily comes to the surface, and you can see whether
whether you can rely on some of these things or not. And the truth is, the only thing we can rely on is Jesus. You know that.
Yes, that's right. But then, but see, the times we're living in, my truth, what I believe, you know, it's my truth. Well, you can believe your truth. And it's like there isn't any absolute truth, but yeah. There is.
There is. Yes. Well, it's kind of like, I always look at it like the light spectrum. The human eye can only see a very thin sliver of the entire light spectrum. There's a whole bunch of things happening out there that we can't see. It's kind of like that for each individual. We have an understanding of truth, but we only have a piece of it. We really can't see all of it until we go to the Word of God and see what He has to say. And people who think that they have their truth and someone else has their own truth, the truth is you only have a partial truth, and God's Word is the whole truth.
Right. And so we're going to be using, like, Daniel. I mean, he talks about, you know, prophecy. And Isaiah, I mean, even Isaiah prophesied the coming of Jesus the first time.
Yeah, there's lots of prophecy of the first coming of Christ as well. And, of course, Daniel pinpoints exactly when Jesus would come. And that's one of the hardest things for us to understand, is that the Jewish folks knew those books, and they would have known exactly what the coming of the Messiah would look like. And they still didn't accept him. So the truth is, we do know from Revelation that, from Daniel and Revelation, when the Messiah would come and when he would return to the earth. And that's some fantastic knowledge that everyone should have.
And some of the things people read or believe are scary. And that's the whole thing, though. We don't need to be scared of Jesus' second coming.
Yeah, well, I guess there are some things in Revelation that are scary. People are scared of the beast and the dragon. There's a lot of imagery in there that seems pretty intense. But the truth is, the worst thing we can face is being separated from God. And the whole purpose of showing us the evil that's coming to this world is so that we have Christ on our side, and we're not only protected from that evil, but He's going to carry us through it and take us home.
That's right. And I know the Bible talks about the mystery of God, because we are infinite. You know, we cannot understand everything. But the more that we do study and learn, the better for us. So, okay, this starts tonight at 7 o'clock at the St. Charles Seventh-day Adventist Church. And give us the address and a phone number again.
Okay, the address is 125 Marcy Street. Marcy, St. Charles, Michigan, and the phone number is 989-780-7900.
Okay, and folks, if you want to register, because they have a free gift, it's keystorevelation.com, and you can type in St. Charles, and that you can register, but you don't have to register. You can just show up.
That's right. They can just show up, and we'll get them everything they need from that. But we hope to see you all there, regardless if you're registered or not.
Okay. All right. Well, may God bless you, Steve, and everyone that comes. And Jesus is coming back soon, folks. We need to be getting ready and coming to the Keys to Revelation and Bible Prophecy Seminar will help you be more prepared for His second coming.
Amen. Thank you, Jelaine. Good talking with you.
Okay. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye.